And for the rest of us, you're stuck here. Don't get to go to Sunday school. But it is my privilege to also today to bring today's message to you. I want to start by posing a question to the room. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer, but God didn't answer it in the way that you wanted? Pretty much the majority of us. I think prayer is one of the greatest tools, actually, that God has given us. It's that direct line of communication with Him. In the book Visual Theology, authors Tim Challies and Josh Byers describe prayer this way. They describe it as an essential means of forming that relationship with God, fostering it, and increasing it. See, we pray to be close to God and pray to remain close to Him. And as Christians, we have probably said more prayers that we can even count for various reasons, different situations. And there are probably many times that we have witnessed answers to prayer. Have we witnessed answers to prayer? But there are probably those times where those prayers felt like they went unanswered. And so today we're going to look at James 5:16, which is a verse that we can look to in order to understand more about unanswered prayers. If you have your Bibles or an app, you can go to James 5:16, and it reads that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Sounds pretty good, right? You know, the earnest prayer of that righteous person, it has great power and produces these wonderful results. But what does it mean first to be righteous? Because it says that it's the earnest prayer of a righteous person. At the root of that word is the meaning of straightness, or lending to the notion of an action that conforms to a norm. And scholars have found it difficult to render either the Greek or Hebrew words concerned by an English equivalent, but one of the main ingredients of righteousness is a relationship between God and man, and man and man. And when James is using this term of a righteous person in the New Testament, is a sense of conformity to the demands and obligations of the will of God. And we proclaim this righteousness by faith in Jesus and through the grace that He has so freely given, where we are able to share in this relationship with Him. So if we're supposed to remain a righteous person, then our prayers will have this great power and produce incredible results. See, if we remain righteous, we would expect and maybe even think that we should see miracles happen, that we should see healings and breakthrough and provision as long as we remain righteous and in step with God. But what about when those things don't happen? A couple of weeks ago, we had our young adult community called 20 to Life. We had invited a bunch of them out for an outdoor movie night at our place to watch a faith film. Unfortunately, it got rained out and we had to move inside, but we still watched this movie. And as I watched it, I was reminded of this passage that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. But the more I think about that verse, the more I feel like it's almost unfinished. I feel like I should say that the power of a righteous person has great power, produces wonderful results, but not always. Before you get up in protest and start formulating emails and conversations to have with me after church to correct me, I want you to actually stop and think. Has every prayer that you have prayed always been answered exactly how you asked? Probably not. And maybe when it was left unanswered, maybe you felt confusion, frustration, even anger towards God. And this is what happened in that movie that we watched. We'd watched the faith-based film, I Still Believe. How many have seen the movie I Still Believe? For those that haven't, it's a documentary, basically, of Christian singer-songwriter Jeremy Camp. If you want to know who that is, think of the song Beautiful One that we sing. He wrote that. That's about one of the only songs that we sing of his in church. There are lots of other great ones, and I would encourage you to go and listen to those. But this movie follows his break into the music scene from where he's going to college, breaks onto the music scene, and meets his wife, Melissa. And as the movie goes on, as their relationship develops, tragedy strikes, and Melissa ends up diagnosed with cancer. And Jeremy would go out to his concerts, and he would go on radio to do interviews, and in each of those instances, he would call the nation to prayer of healing for his wife. At the concerts, he would have those around lay hands on her and pray for healing. And miraculously, God answered those prayers, and she was healed from the cancer. The movie goes on, and they got married and went on their honeymoon, and while on their honeymoon, tragedy strikes again. The cancer has returned, this time incurable, and she ends up passing away from it. Now, throughout her whole illness, she never once questioned God's plan and what was going on. Her faith remained strong, and she would often write about it in a journal that she had. Jeremy wasn't even allowed to see what was in this journal that she kept. But upon returning home from her funeral, Jeremy is so frustrated and angry with God that he takes it out in his room, smashes his mirror, his guitar is smashed to pieces. And he looks back, and out of his guitar falls these two journal pages that Melissa had placed inside his guitar. And so he takes those out and reads them. She begins by saying that how due to the pain of the cancer, she was unable to sleep, and so it's given her time to think about God and his plan for her. She goes on to mention how she loves that Jeremy's always sharing these Bible stories at his concerts. In one story, God grants answers to prayer and miracles and healing, yet in another story, his call was to suffer and to die. And she realized that both of those stories have value because each story is a chapter in God's bigger story. Each one was a stroke of a brush on a larger canvas. And she closes off these pages by saying that she feels she was meant to live both stories. One where she had her miracle of healing, but while she was writing is now in that second story where she was called to suffer and to die as part of God's plan, in order for her story to be used to transform the lives of others. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, there are probably many times that we felt like Jeremy did, where we felt like our prayers weren't being answered and we just wanted to smash things. Has anyone been there before? We just get so angry, we want to smash things. And I think King David probably felt pretty similar when he wrote in Psalm 22, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. So even Jesus had a major prayer in his life go unanswered. He had asked God to let this cup pass from him, talking about his upcoming crucifixion. And as he hangs on that cross, he cries out in Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt like this? Have you ever felt abandoned and unheard by God? I've been there. In between having our daughter Madeline and our son Caleb, we had a miscarriage. We always wanted another child after having Maddie, and we were so excited when we found out that we were going to have another one. But then things started happening, and there was this talk of a miscarriage. And no matter how hard I prayed, God still allowed for it to happen. I remember driving home from the hospital with Samantha, both of us just crying the whole way home. That night, couldn't sleep. Sat in bed, crying for hours. Actually had to leave the room and paced downstairs, yelling and my frustration at God. Why did you let this happen? How? I prayed for a safe and healthy delivery of our child. We prayed for this. How could you take him? Was I missing something? Did I pray something the wrong way? As I reflect back on that, I don't think that I prayed anything wrong. And I don't think when your prayers go unanswered that you have prayed anything wrong. In the 12 years that I have attended this church, I can list countless sermons and series where we have walked through prayer, why we are to pray, the importance of prayer, how we are to do it. So I'm not going to give us another sermon on that. I want to look at why do our prayers seem to go unanswered. To understand that, we need to just understand prayer, though. We always need to be reminded, as Paul did with the church in Philippi, that we aren't just supposed to bring our list of needs to God and have them check the boxes. We're to bring our needs to God, but also with thanksgiving, as we're reminded in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, there are truly things that will keep us from having our prayers answered. God has placed some limits on prayer, as much as we'd like to think otherwise. But there are many times where prayer does go answered, just not in the way that we had wanted it. So today I want us to look at four things that we can learn to understand about unanswered prayer. So if you've got something to write these down, I would encourage you to do so as we go. Number one, first thing we can remember is that God created the world. Just as much as he has created each of us, with our own unique design, he created the world with all its beauty and the intricacies of it. But he created it and put certain laws in effect over it. And one of those laws would be that we as humans are not Energizer bunnies. We can't keep going. I look at my toddler, Caleb, and I think, I just want to bottle that energy up, consume it, so I can keep going all day. We're not built like that. We need time to recharge. And the earth we live in has needs, has an order and stability, and we are called as people on this earth to look after it and keep it that way because design and order are necessary. So if we're trying to pray for something that goes against the way that God has created the world to operate, we're truly praying for a miracle. Now, miracles do happen. Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still. And it did, even though it wasn't created to do that. With God as the creator of the world, he can answer those prayers, but it will affect the course of nature itself. So we should not be surprised when some of our prayers for miracles sometimes go unanswered. So first thing we learned was God created the world. The second is that God has a plan for each of us. So we know that God's the creator of everything. And if you go back to the beginning in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That had to happen in order for God's plan to come to Jesus, coming to die for our sins. You look back at each story, the creation had to happen. The fall of man had to happen. The flood had to happen. The battle of Jericho had to happen. Jonah in the fish had to happen. All these stories had to happen because it was part of God's plan to bring his son. And the same is true for us today. God has a plan for each one of us. Psalm 139 gives us an insight to this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And if I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, Even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. See, God created each of us to be in relationship with him because he has a plan for us, which includes the good and the bad. Maybe some of you have heard the phrase, well, if God is a loving God, then how come he lets bad things happen to good people? How come people get sick instead of being healed? Hebrews 9:27 reminds us that just as it is destined, each person dies only once, and after that comes judgment. We aren't built to last forever on this earth. That is part of God's plan. So when there are prayers of healing that go unanswered, why then are we so quick to pass judgment either on ourselves and our prayers or on God? See, I believe that God can heal people and miracles can happen. I personally have witnessed many times where someone was healed in a way that only God could heal them without the help of any modern medicine. But there have been also times, actually recently, in the last year, I have lost my grandfather, last year I lost my great uncle, and last week I lost my other great uncle. All of these people I knew were sick, and I was praying that they would be healed, that they wouldn't be suffering, and they still died. When I think back on it, I prayed for them to be healed from their suffering. I wanted it to be here on this earth, that they would be back with their family, enjoying life here, doing the things that they always did. God still answered my prayer, because they're up with him, rejoicing in heaven. They are free of their suffering and their ailment. But it wasn't answered in the way that I wanted. See, sometimes God has greater gifts in store for us. It's just not time yet. As I was preparing for this message, my wife Samantha sat down with me and we were going through this, and she said, you know what? How many times in the past 5 years, think back on the last 5 years, how many times during that did prayers not get answered? And how many of those had to not get answered to get to where you are today? How many prayers in the last 5 years didn't get answered in order for me to be here? Tons. I had prayers for jobs, and if they had come through, I wouldn't be here. Prayer for certain circumstances and situations, but each unanswered prayer had to happen in order for me to be standing here before you today. And what I've realized as I reflected on that is that some of God's greatest gifts our unanswered prayers. So we learn that God created the world and that God has a plan for us. The third lesson we're going to learn is that God gave us free will. Has anyone seen the movie Bruce Almighty? Not the sister movie Evan Almighty, Bruce Almighty. Now these films, I understand, poke fun at Christianity and God, but bear with me. Please, there is a point, and I just want to explain this, that the movie stars Jim Carrey and Morgan Freeman, and Carrey plays a news reporter who was overlooked for a promotion and decides to take his frustrations out on God, who is played by Freeman, and Freeman's character offers to give Carrey's character his powers with only two rules, and we're going to watch a quick clip of what these two rules are.
Rules?
Yeah, you left in such a rush, I didn't get a chance to explain.
Two extra fingers freaked me out a little bit.
I just figured I'd get your attention. I did the same thing to Gandhi. He didn't eat for 3 weeks. Anyway, here's the deal. You have all my powers. Use them any way you choose. There are only two rules. You can't tell anybody you're God. Believe me, you don't want that kind of attention. And you can't mess with free will.
Uh-huh. Can I ask why?
Yes, you can. That's the beauty of it.
So there were two rules. Couldn't tell anyone that he was God, but also he couldn't mess with free will. Because God has given us each free will, that ability to choose things for ourselves. And we exercise this right pretty much every day. You know, we choose what to eat, we choose what we're going to wear, where we're going to go. However, free will also allows us to choose sometimes to indulge in things that we shouldn't, which could lead to addiction, alcohol, pornography, drugs, lust, gossip. We aren't forced into making that decision the same way that we aren't forced to believe in God or to be a Christian. We have free will. Now, maybe you have family and friends that are entangled in the consequences of their choices. But just because you pray that God for God to take that away from them, they still have their free will. So we shouldn't be surprised when some of our prayers for those people go unanswered. I've got plenty of extended family that have been caught up in some of these addictions, and I have prayed for years for freedom from the substance abuse and for them to each become a Christian. But what I've realized over the years is that I need to change what I'm asking for, understanding that they have that free will. Instead, I've prayed that I can be an example of Christ's love to them, that their eyes would be open to the freedom and grace that Christ offers, whether that's through me or through someone else that comes into their lives. Because I can't force them to become a Christian, but I can keep praying and trusting God. So we've learned three things so far of why our prayers may go unanswered. One is that God created the world, and we are trying to pray for something outside of the laws of nature. Second thing is that God has a plan for us, though it might not be what we want or understand. And the third was that God's given us free will, and we can't force anyone into anything. And the final thing we're going to learn today is that you're not the only one praying. I think this is often the part of prayer that we forget the most about. In most situations, we aren't the only person that is praying for a desired outcome. So how's God going to handle this? You take any sports game, you've got half of them that are praying for this side to win and half of them are praying for this side to win. But I think probably the greatest example is the weather. How many people have prayed for specific weather on a certain day in their life? I have been guilty of this. Anytime I want to travel, I don't want it to be raining, I don't want it to be snowing, there's got to be no ice. Hate traveling in that. Anytime we're camping, I don't want it to rain. Guess what? That prayer went unanswered. We camped in the rain a couple weeks ago. Look around the room for a minute. Look at all the people that are gathered here. Think if each of these people were praying for specific weather today. What would that look like? Probably in Old Ottawa South, we've got it nice and sunny and clear, maybe a nice 25. Outside of Ottawa, that's where all our farms are in the rural areas. We want it to be raining there so we get bountiful crops. And probably downtown, they're wanting it to be minus 30 so the canal will freeze and we can skate again. Can we all agree that would be ridiculous? To have different weather every few feet. If we went back to the movie Bruce Almighty, there was another scene that captures this. I'm not going to show it. I'm going to explain it to you. Everyone's praying to win the lottery. Everyone wants it. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm God, I can grant that. So he says, sure, you all win the lottery. Didn't think it through though. They wanted the whole pot to themselves, but by everyone winning the lottery, they each get $17. That's not what they paid for. That's not what they prayed for. Not what they paid for either. And you know what though? Some of our prayers are downright selfish. We've got a fellow Wesleyan pastor, good friend of Drew. I have not met him yet, but Dan Guptill, down in our Atlantic district, he writes the following. He says, if you're praying that you will get a great job, then you're praying that someone else doesn't. And if we're praying that someone gets into surgery sooner because of a cancellation, then what are your prayers saying about that person that has to cancel? And where are they going to end up on the list now? And if that's the case, then what are we really praying for when we're praying for an organ donation? It really makes you stop and think. Now, I don't want you to just leave you with these four reasons why our prayers seem to go unanswered, because that's not going to be very helpful. There's nothing practical there. So what should we do when our prayers seem to go unanswered? I want you to look at the following three things. Number one is that God's timing is perfect. See, it may seem like the prayer is going unanswered, but I've learned that God answers prayer in three ways. It's a yes, no, or wait. So God has a plan for each of us in his timing, not our own. Habakkuk 2:3 reminds us that for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it, for it will certainly come and not delay. We might not know why, but Jesus promised in John 13:7 that you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. So God's timing is perfect. Second thing we need to do is to check your heart and your motives. Are you really praying from the heart? Or is your prayer coming from a place of rage or spite for someone? Remember our passage from James, that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So are you remaining righteous in God's eyes? Is our character, our attitudes, our conduct in step with him? Are we maintaining that relationship with our Creator and coming to him out of the love and adoration that he deserves? And the third one is probably the hardest one. It's keep praying. How many of us want to keep praying when it feels like we're not being heard or that it's not really making a difference? We're not seeing those results that we want. We're reminded at least twice in Scripture to keep praying even when it seems hard. Ephesians 6:18, to pray with the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, even when we are discouraged and we feel that God isn't there, we keep on praying. As the worship team comes back up to close off the service, I want to leave you with the following quote from Pete Gregg's book entitled God on Mute. He says, I don't know why your prayers haven't been answered, but I do know that the very best thing about our lives, the most incredible thing we've got going for us, is that the Creator of a million stars is entirely good, that he is utterly caught up in the details of the situation, and that he cares for us more than we care for ourselves. See, someday we will each understand why our prayers didn't get answered. You know what? I don't believe that there's any such thing as unanswered prayer. It's just prayers that didn't get answered in the way we wanted it. So would our eyes be open to seeing those answers? We have to trust in God's timing and plan, for he knows what he is doing. We keep our hearts in check, and we continue to pray without ceasing. And resting in that same assurance that we talked about at the beginning, Jeremy Camp's wife, Melissa, resting in that same assurance that this is just a chapter in God's bigger story that he will use for good.